With River Bank, we believe you can heal, grow, and fulfill God's plans for your life as the power of God touches you through this prophetic teaching by Pastor Dominion. Get excited and hop into it.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We're starting a new series today titled, Say Healing Angry Hearts. Say it as loud as possible. I'm not hearing everybody. As loud as possible. You guys have very good vocal control. Healing angry hearts. Voila for the people that have H factor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word? Let's pray. Father, we thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. Thank you because there's understanding for us. We do not walk in darkness. We have the light of life. We are doers of your word because we have your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Today, we are looking at angry by design. Say angry by design. One more time, angry by design. And maybe you do not understand how important this teaching is. My hope and prayer is that by the end of this service, and by the end of the series, ultimately, you are able to, number one, see what might be happening with the uncontrolled level of anger that is ravaging many people, and at least get some level of solution from this series. Praise the name of the Lord. Have you realized how angry people have become? Have you seen how people react to little mistakes you make? Let me come home. Have you realized how difficult it is for you to control yourself when you are angry? You're a very nice person until you get angry. There's something about anger that makes us to morph into someone else. There's a version of us that some of us even call our true color that comes out when we are angry. There's just something about anger that does not care about any other thing. You can trade anything to express your grievance. Relationship you prayed for, you worked hard to build, people you respect with your heart, with your mind, with your entire being. There's something about anger that would make you to throw that relationship away in a heartbeat because you are angry. What is it about anger that morphs us into a monster? Let me tell you what you might not have realized. You've seen people that every other person would consider a monster, isn't it? You've heard stories like that. And then there is you, a baby monster, that anger is taking a hold of and making you do things you do not want to do, making you a slave to it. But you do not realize that anger has an agenda. I've told you this, that temptation is progressive. Temptation is progressive. When the devil begins to walk in your life through you, it's a journey. It's never static. And so the little monster of today is going to morph into a giant monster. And so if anger is controlling you and making you break plate, throw your phone away, you know, forget about relationships. It's taking you somewhere. It's taking you somewhere. The monsters of today were baby monsters yesterday.
There were baby monsters yesterday. This is why parents try to clip that anger when the child is young, because he grows up, and then, like we say in local parlance, that once the fish is dry, you can't mold it again. Listen, you might seldom get angry, but if your anger is terrible, it's a problem. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, let me give a disclaimer. I'm not saying don't get angry. In fact, the Bible does not teach that you should not get angry. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Tell your neighbor, say, be angry, but sin not. Tell someone else, say, be angry, but sin not. So, the Bible doesn't say you shouldn't get angry. It just says, in your anger, don't sin. Don't sin. Don't disrespect authority. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't act unkindly. The Bible says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many of us have allowed anger go on for too long. Way too long. And this month, at least, we get to pay attention to it. Let me say something else. Anger is not a strength. Tell your neighbor, say, anger is not a strength. It's not cool that people are afraid of your anger. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you ready today? Are you sure? It's not cool that people walk on eggshells around you. It's not cool. We understand 80% of the time you're the sweetest person in the world. But that 20%, because the devil doesn't need 80% to destroy you. He just needs a moment. Look at the life of Moses. The Lord is using you. You are doing great things. The people who are annoying, those Israelites were annoying. We know. We get it. But just that moment of weakness where he went to lose God, God said, you know what? You're not going to enter the land again. So here's my question. How many opportunities have you missed because of your anger? How many doors have you shut because of your anger? How many relationships that God was planning to use to do something for your life, to do something in your life, to do something in the life of the next person, to do something in the life of many other people, have you severed because of anger? How many more would you destroy going forward? Now, let me tell you something, right? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 7, he made us to understand that people are going to offend you. So I get it. You feel like they annoyed me. That's why I acted like that. How can they talk to me like this? How can they treat me like this? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 7, he said, Woe to the world because of offense. For offense must come. Tell your neighbor, offense must come. Tell your neighbor, somebody will annoy you. Make it worse. Somebody must annoy you. So, here's something that is a given. People will annoy you. People will disrespect you. People will talk to you and treat you in ways you don't like. People will say things that would hurt you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People will treat you in ways that are unfair. So, get on with the program. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
They are going to treat you in ways that are wicked and unkind. Offenses must come. So now that we know that the constant is offense, our responsibility is to make sure our reaction to it, our response to it is right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you might be excusing yourself that if they did not say that, if they did not do this, I won't have acted this way. And you are right to a degree. But here's what is constant: offense. Now you are responsible for how you handle the offense. Do you understand what I'm saying? So anger, offense is a constant. And anger is not a sin. Is that okay? Anger is not a sin. What is a sin is how you handle anger. How you handle anger. Here's what the Bible says. I think it's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. I beg your pardon. Ephesians and chapter 4 and verse 26. Please open your Bibles. I want you to look at this. We're going to read this together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Are you there? Ephesians 4, 26. Are you there now? Ha. You didn't bring your Bible to church. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Are you there now? Read together, everybody. 1, 2, go. All right. It says, be ye angry. Be angry. It says, but do not sin. Meaning, the problem is not the anger. The problem is uncontrolled anger. The problem is not that you got angry or that they offended you. It's how you handled the situation. And the context of and the explanation to how you should not sin when you are angry is this. Let me explain something to you. Every word has its accurate definition in a particular context. All right? It means if I want to understand what you're saying, if I want to understand the meaning of a word, I must check the context in which that word is applied. If I want to understand the statement, I must understand the context in which the statement is applied. All right? So like I did, I think recently, I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago. If we say, what's the meaning of table? Someone will say, oh, a flat surface that has four legs. Isn't it? But then we'll see some tables that even have three legs. We'll see some tables that are flat and just have one leg at the middle. Isn't it? And then there's something at the beginning of every book called a table of contents, isn't it? Then when you want to discuss an issue, you can say, let's table the matter, isn't it? It's not a flat surface with four legs. Then there's such a thing as table water. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not the water I put on the table. Do you get what I'm saying? So you understand the meaning of a word in the context in which it's applied. Do you get what I'm saying? So if we say, what's the meaning of table? We need to understand, okay, how was it applied for us to know the meaning of the word? Is that clear so far? All right. So when you want to understand a statement also, you must find out in what context was it used. So when you look at be angry but sin not, when you read the context to which it was applied in this passage of scripture, it talks about the duration of your anger. Say duration of anger. It means your anger cannot be eternal. Are you hear what I'm saying? Are you hear what I'm saying? Are you hear what I'm saying? You can't be angry forever. So I know that naturally you might think that, oh, the context is I'm angry with someone and I insulted the person, and so that's how I'm angry and I sinned. Yeah, you are correct. But in this particular context,
What is being talked about is duration of anger. Say duration of anger. How long does your anger last? Some people have said, I will never forgive XYZ. Because of what Emeka has done, I will never forgive him in my life. Because of what Anita did to me, I will never forgive her. That's wrong. Let me explain something to you. I'm not saying that the gravity of what they did is not mighty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying there's a way to handle anger no matter the depth of the hurt. With respect to how much hurt you've gone through. Do you get what I'm saying? It's a personal thing and nobody naturally should be able to tell you how much it should pain you. But the Bible wants you to watch out for the duration of your anger. Moving on is not letting go. Are you hear what I'm saying? We're going to teach on forgiveness in this series. Because I realize that some people do not know how to forgive. Some people do not even understand what the word forgive is. And some people want to forgive, but the cut is deep. Are you hear what I'm saying? And so we're going to walk you through how you can forgive, how you can let go. But duration of anger must be watched. So let's look at what the Bible says. Look at that Ephesians chapter 6 again. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26. It says, be angry and do not sin. What's the next statement? What's the next statement? Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. You see that? So he's putting a peg, a limit to the duration. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. This looks like it's far-fetched. But let me explain why he says that. Are you ready? He then goes ahead to say in verse 27, nor give place to the devil. Do you see what I'm saying? You don't just start a statement. It's just the scripture I'm reading this morning, I'm memorizing, is nor give place to the devil. My memory verse is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. It says, nor give place to the devil. It's a continuation. How did the devil enter your life? He says you gave him place. That you're holding on to your anger, your grievance, gave the devil access to your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it opens the door for the devil to come in. He says, be angry but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, nor give place, give home, give space to the devil in your life. Go ahead and pray if you want to pray. Go ahead and fast if you want to fast. There's a legal access road that you gave him into your heart, into your life. He says, nor give place to the devil. He would enter your life. He would spoil things and have a right to do it. Are you hear what I'm saying? There is place that the devil can take in your heart if you hold on to anger. Maybe those that even make this, cliche statement don't even know this. That, being angry or being, keeping malice is like drinking poison and expecting the next person to die. The devil gets to walk into your life, stroll into your life, look at all the rooms in your life, look at your destiny, look at your past, remove one thing from the sitting room, put it in the kitchen, remove from the toilet, put it in the kitchen room, the sitting room. He just does anything he wants to do. He has place. He's roommate with you. And he's not your friend, in case you don't know. Let me tell you something. You can call the devil a fool if you want to. But let me tell you, the devil is deceitful. You can call him anything you want to call him. But I don't want to say he's wise, I want to say he's corny. It means that he would convince you to do the things that makes him to be able to operate freely in your life. That's how he is. He wants to destroy Jesus. He says, bow down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. Did you come to receive the kingdoms of the world? At the end, is it not that the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ? Is that not what you came for? Let them bow down and I'll give you. You don't have to go to the cross. Just knee down, lie down. That's all. Isn't that easy? Is that not what you want? So, it's a trade. So, when Jesus did not say you're a liar. He didn't say you do not have the kingdoms of the world. And you know what I'm saying? He did not say that. So, the devil's idea is to convince you with some level of facts. And you know what I'm saying? He brings some level of facts in the picture so that he can trap you. Has God not said he will keep his angels charge over you? Is that not what he said? But then jump. He brings some level of facts that you can accept to trap you. So, when he now tells you, this thing they did was not wrong, you say it's wrong. Is it not unfair? You say it's unfair. He'll say, don't forgive them. They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing. It was deliberate. Then you yourself will now say, I agree. In fact, I will never forgive them. You won't go ahead to say, even if Jesus comes to beg me, I will not forgive them. They will not say, oh, calm down, that's too much. He says, be angry and do not sin. So here's what we're going to do in this service. We're going to forgive anybody that's hurt us. Is it a tough call? Yes. But does the Bible say we should forgive? Yes. Does the Bible categorically, you know, puts the hurt in categories as if it's this one. Let's see what you can do about it. No! Puts everything in the same category and says, you can be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. And by the way, don't give access to the devil. You are hurting yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The devil is a smart guy. He will influence this guy to hurt you and influence you not to forgive and watch yourself self-destruct. Watch both of you destroy yourselves. So he entered Judas, go and betray Jesus. Then he wanted Jesus not to forgive. Jesus had to pray it out. He said, this cross, because he knew it was Judas. He knew it was Judas. On the cross, he looked at them and said, Father, forgive them. He didn't allow the son to go down while he was still angry. So imagine this scenario. I call you out here in the presence of everybody for no reason whatsoever. And then I lie against you. Said extremely terrible things against you. As you are trying to say, but Pastor, I now slap you on your face. And I spit on you. And I say, get out of here. And as you're going to your seat, under your breath, you're saying, Father, forgive him, for he doesn't know what he's doing. That's what Christ did. He didn't wait to process it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He didn't wait to process it. I'm saying you don't have a right not to forgive. Let me explain something to you. Let me explain why you must forgive. He said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have sinned against us. The Bible says, if the Lord should mark iniquity, nobody will stand. I'm not saying they did not hurt you. I'm saying in comparison to what God has done, nobody can scratch hurting you as much as you've hurt God. It's that we don't understand the gravity of our offense. And hear what I'm saying? We're going to talk about that even more during the course of this series. But here's what I'm saying. Be angry but sin not. And the context is this. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, lest you give place to the devil. When the Bible begins to advise you with things that you are meant to be more than, use the example of people that you are meant to be better than and things you are meant to be better than, you know that you've messed up, isn't it? When they start telling you, you know that even your younger brother is to arrange his clothes. You know, say, ah, I don't mess up. It's time to get my own apartment. On Valentine's Day, when they say, ah, even your younger brother has gone out. Why are you in this house? Ah, now me mess up. I should have gone to the library to read. Wear fine clothes and go on a date with the books. I mean, it makes for a bright future, isn't it? It's like when the Bible says, go to the ant, you sluggard. You say, now me mess up. If I was diligent now, they won't send me to ant. So here's another example in the Bible. Listen. The Bible says, with malice be children. I get it, you've grown up, you think you're wiser, you're smarter. He says, oh, by the way, you see that your little niece? You see that your little nephew? You need to learn something. For them, anger is not eternal. They can say, I will never forgive you in my life. You say, oh, sorry, take the phone. Take the phone. This is my password. They are friends again. It's gone. So the context of not sinning when you're angry primarily is the length of your anger. Is it difficult? Oh my God, it's extremely difficult. But part of the people convincing you not to forgive is the devil. Listen, let me tell you why anger is terrible. Because when you are angry, for many people, you are able to hear God clearly saying, don't say that thing, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Then you say it. Then you want to say something else. He says, don't say it. Normally, you don't know if you hear God. But for some reason, when you are angry, it seems like he intervenes. You know very clearly. Some of you, as you say it, you know, I've hit a point of no return. I've severed something I shouldn't have. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Thank you. So, why is it that normally, even when you're praying, you might not seem to hear God, but something about anger, God intervenes in such a way that you know what to do and what not to do. Yet, with God talking to you clearly, you still won't do it. What is it about anger? It gives the devil place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Here's another example. You can be arguing with somebody like this. Be venting like this, back to back, everybody's giving. Everybody's collecting and giving. Then somebody steps in, imagine, and says, stop, it's the devil. Don't allow this person, it's the devil. Like, normally when you are, you know, all that temptations and habits you struggle with, you are hoping you can remember that time that, it's the devil. But this time someone is there telling you, it's the devil. Don't say that, don't answer, don't answer. Yet, you remove the person's hand and respond. What is it about anger that makes it such that even if somebody else is standing to mediate, you will go ahead and follow? Even the Holy Ghost, God, talks to you, you go ahead and still disobey. What is it about anger? Maybe anger is more terrible than we give it credit for. So, this is why we are studying healing angry hearts. And as I wrap up this sermon, let me say this. One of the issues with anger is this. Many times, maybe not all the time, but many times, anger is a reflection of past trauma. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's already anger in you. And so, anything that triggers you you just bring out all that is inside of you. Like it said, a hurting person would hurt somebody else. So if you don't heal that trauma, it will take a hold on you. And here's what trauma is. Here's the definition of trauma. Trauma is a wound to your soul. Say that, a wound to the soul. So what trauma is that your soul has been injured. I hear what I'm saying? Has been injured. And so it doesn't function perfectly like it should. It's like a broken vehicle. I hear what I'm saying? It doesn't function as it should. And so what has happened is that this is why you don't have the ability to control it. Because like the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart. Do you get what I'm saying? The mouth speaks. The Bible says a broken spirit dries the bone. Meaning the internal, what is happening in your soul is what controls what happens externally. This is why you can't control anger. Because a broken spirit dries the physical. It impacts on the physical. So if you've experienced trauma, you have been wounded in your heart, in your soul. And so it doesn't have the ability. It's like a sick soul. It doesn't have the ability to control you as it should. You now respond from that deformity, from that disability on your inside. And here's another thing about it. That many signs of trauma are the works of the flesh. Many. Oh, why are you homosexual? Ah, when I was 5, my uncle sexually violated me. And so I went ahead in life to be homosexual. Homosexuality, works of the flesh. Oh, my father was a drunkard. He left my mother. He was a terrible person. Therefore, I go out with a gun and kill other children. Murder, works of the flesh. Oh, I have daddy issues. I seek male approval. That's why I go about sleeping with men. Fornication, works of the flesh. And you know what I'm saying? Oh, I had a very horrible past. Eh? My past was so horrible. I was maltreated. Listen, I can't see anybody. I'm selfish and I know and I don't care. Anybody that's on my way, I will finish them. Anger, selfishness, work of the flesh. Many signs of trauma are the works of the flesh. And the reason is very simple. Many times the devil is behind trauma, but many people do not realize. Let me give you 2 examples very quickly so that I can move on with what I'm saying. If you see Job was depressed in the Bible. I mean, any straight thinking man, you lose your business, you lose your workers for the business, so you can't go back to the business again, and then you lose your children. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be depressed. And Job talked about that. But who was behind everything? The devil. Guess what? If the Bible did not tell you, you will not know. Because here's what his servant came to tell him. A wind blew from the wilderness and fell on your cattle, your animals, and they died. So if the Bible didn't tell you it was the devil, you just thought it was natural factors. This is how this person used to talk. You know now, he's always saying it, but today I was not in a good mood. So everything looks like it's natural, but there's the devil behind the scene. Same thing with Judas. Judas loved money. He was picking change here and there. When just realized, this change. What with Jesus, the old Jesus of Nazareth. You are sowing seed in change for him. Let me keep that one in my pocket. And then he kept growing. And then he thought about it. They tried to kill Jesus many times. He would escape. Tried many times, he would escape. One time they brought him, the Bible says, to the edge of the cliff to push him down. He just escaped. And this economy is bad, bro. See dollar. So I know what I will do. I will go and sell Jesus to them. But I know Jesus. Normally, You understand? He will escape.
Then Jesus did not escape.
He says, I'm not doing. He went back and threw the money and said, I don't want again. They said, it's too late. It's your business. You have your receipt, Abby. Exactly. He bought rope with some of the change and hanged himself. But Jesus made us know, and the Bible made us know, that the devil entered Judas to sell Jesus. But it now spiraled into his depression and suicide. So the devil will create an event that will cause you to be hurt and traumatized and angry. And then once he has injured your soul, he can leave you. You will do the rest by yourself. You will destroy yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So, what you want to do, and that's why we're learning angry by design. It means that your new makeup, your new operating system is faulty. That's what's happening. This is why you struggle. Paul talked about it. We'll look at it maybe next week. Romans 7. The things I want to do, I do not do. I don't want to answer this person in a bad way. I want to stop this. I want to be the mature person. But somehow, I just find myself responding. Do you get what I'm saying? Exactly. Angry by design. That your past and the trauma you've gone through is playing a role in you being angry. And so if you're going to heal, you're going to, like the Bible says, walk in the Spirit. What I want to do this morning, because this is an introduction and this sermon is a short sermon and I'm already done, is help you understand why you're always angry. Many times the devil is behind it. And if he's not behind it, if you stay angry, he's going to come inside and destroy your life. All right? And he might have orchestrated things in your past that have injured your soul. All of these things, you must heal from them. Are you hear what I'm saying? We must heal from them. And you learn how to in the weeks to come. But here's what I want you to do today. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. You still have a few more hours. Are you hear what I'm saying? You still have a few more hours. But we're going to pray. You'll spend some time in worship. We're going to pray. And you're just going to say, you know what? I forgive. Do I feel it? No. If you leave me to myself, do I want to do it? No. A man talked to Jesus. And Jesus says, I want to heal your son. Do you believe? He says, I believe. Help my unbelief. Whatever that means, I don't know. But I need to believe. I believe. You, help my unbelief. I forgive. Help my unforgiveness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you leave me to myself, I will not. I want to do your word, but I'll need you to help me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to do your word, but I need you to help me. But then, I need you to also pray. And say, I will forgive Janet. Help me, Lord. Jennifer, help me, Lord. Jemima, help me, Lord. I hear what I'm saying? Yes. Lest the devil has a place in your life. Have you been blessed this morning? Please rise up on your feet.